You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Now we're gonna start there. We're gonna bounce off and go from there. We're gonna hit various scriptures, but that's gonna be kind of our springboard. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. I've entitled our message "Father Knows Best," and yes, I am dating myself. And someone said, "Are we gonna show any clips from that show?" And no, we're not. No, we're not. But, you know, when it comes to father, Billy Graham said this: a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Now, I want you to understand this. Maybe some of us had great dads. Some of us had good dads. Some of us had bad dads. Some of us had Darth Vader dads. You know I'm your father. You know, that kind of thing. It's not good. And you're like, no, yes, that's your dad. Sorry. But this is a happy Father's Day, no matter what kind of earthly dad you had. Why? Because we all have an awesome Heavenly Father. He is a good, good father. He's a good dad. And we're going to see what the difference is between dad and father. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I don't have any children. You know, there's another kind of fatherhood besides the biological one. There is also in the scripture a spiritual fatherhood between us. Look, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to be out of there really quickly. Stay where you're at. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John says this: my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He is not talking about his kids. He's not talking to his kids. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those that he has led to the Lord. He considers them children, and he jumps down in that same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13. He says this: I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, when he's writing this, he's not talking about little children and young men and fathers. Actually, the term for little children and young men is technion and paideia. The difference between these two Greek words is one speaks of a toddler and the other speaks of a child in diapers. And listen, one thing you know is you don't write to a child in diapers because they cannot read. What he's talking about here when he refers to a little child, he's talking about when you are first born again. When you're first born again. And then you mature a little bit and you become a toddler. You begin to walk. And you begin to, and then eventually you become a what? A spiritual father. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And then again, Paul in Philemon, verse 10, he says about Onesimus, he says, he is my son whom I begotten while in chains. In other words, while in chains. He says, I led him to the Lord while I was in prison, while I was in chains. So he becomes a son in the faith. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. As far as I'm concerned, I consider all of y'all my spiritual children. Some of you are older than me and say, well, I'm much older. I know, but I'm here to lead you in spiritual ways. So I look at all of y'all as my spiritual children. No, you cannot borrow the car. Sorry. Dad, no. You're grounded. Okay. No. But it's true. I mean, it always crushes my heart when I see someone that I love as a spiritual children, and then they go astray. It's like having a prodigal. It's heartbreaking. It really is. And so I want you to know, maybe your father has passed on. Well, you got your heavenly father. Maybe you had a bad father. You got your heavenly father. Even the best of fathers fall short. But our Heavenly Father is always good. And then on top of that, we are then can have biological children. But on top of that, we can also have spiritual children. And there, those are those that we are discipling. And we always know, we're always reminded that we are all called to go and make disciples. We are to then go out and have those that are following us. And those would be considered our spiritual children. And then when all of that is wrapped up in one big bundle, we know this. Ultimately, we get all our instructions from God. And what? Father knows best. Now, little insight. Did you know outside of Easter and Christmas, the highest attended church service is Mother's Day? But did you know what the lowest attended church day is? Father's Day. And looking around, you kind of get that impression a little. Don't look around. It's But I wonder why. I mean, I think, you know, what is it like? Oh, the women are like, it's Mother's Day. Let's all go to church. And the guys are like, it's Father's Day. I want to stay home and scratch. Watch TV and scratch. Let's go fishing. Let's go jet skiing. I mean, God, but you know what? I'm glad y'all are all here. That's awesome. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's take a look at our Heavenly Father in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba. You go, what does that mean? What does that mean? No, it's not the cheesy 80s singing group from Sweden, Abba. No, it's not them. By the way, it simply means daddy. In fact, I've often said you go to Israel and you'll hear little children going, Abba, 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 Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. It means Abba, Father. Which is interesting. The group Abba sing Mamma Mia. They missed the boat there a little bit. Abba means daddy. It really does. Now, we go, okay, that's cool. We can call God daddy. No, no, you don't understand. That's intense. To a Jewish person, and especially around the time of Jesus, that was a mind-blowing concept. Listen, none of the patriarchs, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, none of the patriarchs, look at them all, none of them would consider calling God Abba, call him Dad. There was a reverence for God that we don't understand. In fact, the scribes, if they were writing God's name down when they were inscribing, when they come to his name, they'd throw away the ink. Well, and they throw away the ink pen and they'd wash their hands and they'd pray and get a new one because they had just written the holy name of God. And so to call him daddy was mind-blowing. Only one priest could go into the holiest of holies and have any kind of a relationship with God at all. There was a mediator. There was a priest you had to go through. Now there is one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus, and now we have him in our heart. How cool is that? So the Lord Jesus blew everyone's mind when they came to him and said, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it was like, mind blow. Then you go further on, and Jesus took it even further than calling him Father. He said this in Mark 14. It says, he went a little further, fell on the ground, prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And someone might say, yeah, but Pastor Randy, Jesus can call God the Father, Abba. You can call him Daddy because he was the eternal Son and God is the eternal Father. But understand, Paul grasped this concept. And that's why he tells us in Romans 8:15. Let's read it again. For we did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. You know that reverential fear. We can't come close to God. Instead he says, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. He's saying, no, we're not going back into bondage, the old ways where you have to go through a priest. No, and you have to have this faraway reverence from God. No. You've received a spirit of adoption. Man, listen to me, men. What an honor to be considered a father or a daddy, and to be in that same category as God, that God would put that title on himself that we also can carry both spiritually and biologically. That's mind-blowing. William Wordsworth said this, "Father, to God himself we cannot give a holier name. To call God your father is a compliment in God's eyes." Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. And then to take it beyond father and to be able to call God daddy. Listen, do you understand daddy is an action word? It really is. Listen, one person said this, "It is easy for a man to have children. It is harder for children to have a daddy." Why? Because listen, to have children, you only have to have lust. Children can be a product of lust. But then to become a daddy to that child is a product of love. And that's a completely different ballgame. Daddy can only be accomplished by an expression of love. Now, speaking of an expression of love, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And please do turn there because I want to really milk this a little bit. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. Watch. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Now, that first verse right there, "Behold what manner of love the Lord has, the Father has bestowed on us." This word "behold" means to take hold of, to ponder, to really contemplate and think about. Don't just go, "Oh, look at the love." No. Behold, can you believe it? Do you grasp this? And then he says, "What manner?" He's saying what the quality of it. Not just the quantity, which is insurmountable, but the quality of what quality it is. And then this word "bestow" is didomi in the Greek, which means to give something to his advantage. It is to our advantage that we behold the quality of the love that God has given to us for our advantage. He has supplied it, furnished it. It's a necessary thing the Father has bestowed on us. Now, I don't normally like the NIV, but if you have an NIV, that's cool. Read it. But it's not one of my preferences, but I love this verse in the NIV. Here's what it says. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." It's a lavish love. The love that God has for you and I, it doesn't get any more lavished than that. It's not a cold love. It's not a numb love. You know, sometimes our love is numb. "I love you. Oh, you too." There's no passion. It's not a mediocre, typical love. It's not like, you know, when you say, "Hey, I love pizza," and then you look at your wife, "I love you," and it's like, okay, which one's greater? It's not a so-so love. It's a lavish, extravagant love. And listen, the fact that God would bestow a love like that upon us, we got to trust that Father knows best, that he knows best. And now thinking about love, you know me, I love to think about what kids, how they see things that we take for granted. So I looked up some quotes from kids on what they thought about love. And let me read. So they're very interesting. Watch this. Billy, age 4, says this. "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." Chrissy, age 6. "Love is what makes you smile even when you're tired." I like that. Chris, age 7. "Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him home all day." Nika, age 6. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and he wears it every day. Claire, age 6. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Wonder what the best piece is. I don't know. Okay. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Brad Pitt. This is awesome. Last one. Bobby, age 7. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that you hate. Wow. That kid's deep. Future pastor for sure. Listen, do you realize that you and I, that every living being was created to desire love? That's why, listen, a baby is born, it cries out, and it's holding, it wants to be held, it wants that love, and then, of course, it wants to eat. So the only desire greater than eating is love. We all want to be loved. Now, let me ask you, how many of you started off as a baby? Some of the ladies are thinking my husband's still a baby. But every child, every person, we want love. We want to be, we just want to love. And as children aren't chosen. You don't get to choose the child, and nor does a child get to choose its parents. And now, if we did get to choose our parents, I'm sure things would have been, we would have chose different parents. And by the way, some of your parents would have chose different kids. But think about this. The family of Christianity. You know, I didn't choose Christianity. I really didn't. You must be born into Christianity. You can't join it. I didn't choose Christianity, but it was God who chose me. It really was. Jesus said this in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit. See, I didn't choose Christianity. God came after me, and then I surrendered to him. But we were chosen, so you're chosen. If you're a believer here today, God chose you. Yay! But for what? He says here, to bear fruit. In order for us to bear fruit. What fruit? Does that mean I should go grow some kumquats or something? Some kiwi? No. The fruit we are to bear is love. We're to bear love. Listen, we already said we all need love. We all want to be loved. So what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God is love. He is what we need. But here's the cool part. Check this out. When you get the love you need from God, he puts his spirit in you, and his spirit is love, so that you now become a vessel of his expression of love, so that those around you who need love, you can now love them. Grasp this. The more I love God, the more I can love you. The more I love God, the better I can love my wife. The more I love God, the better I love my kids, the better I love my neighbor, my boss, my enemy. Woo-hoo, how about that? The more we have God in us, the more loving we become. People go, well, I have to love myself before I love others. No, you already love yourself too much. Get out of here. Don't give me that. If you're having a problem loving others, it's because you love yourself too much. Fall in love with God and you'll be selfless and you'll begin to love others. Now back to our verse in Romans 8:15. Let's do this though. I want to read one verse before verse 8:15, and then I want to read two verses after it just to get a little more flavor. Watch this. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So see that? We are the Son of God. How do we know that? If we're led by the Spirit of God. And what is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is love. Watch this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of bondage again to fear. You listen, in the Old Testament, there was a fear, a reverence of God that they couldn't get close to God. They couldn't. The only person who would go into the Holy is the Holy. It was one guy, one time a year, and that was the high priest. So they had a mediator, and they stood off afar. Now we have the Spirit of God in us. That's a spirit of adoption. So no longer that fear, that reverence of He's in us. Mind blower. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Here you go. When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're now adopted as one of God's own children. So everything that belongs to God, God is willing to give to you. See, my kids, if they have want or need, everything I have is theirs. If they have need, if it's need, not want, there's a difference. And so the same is true with God. Now think about how lofty and incredible it is to know that we get to reign and we inherit what Christ inherits. Wow. We become joint heirs with Christ. So that's why in 1 John it says, what manner of love God has bestowed. He has lavished upon us. All the glory of heaven is what you and I get to inherit. Wow. Forget about being Bill Gates' child. He's a pauper compared to God. But we can then cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father. We are God's children and joint heirs. Now, why would He grant such incredible love to us? Well, so that we can be His expression to others. Listen, it's Father's Day, right? We consider our earthly fathers, but also there's our spiritual fathers. And then we also are to be spiritual fathers and earthly fathers and mothers. But in order to consider our earthly fathers, your dad, we must go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In Genesis 1, 26, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." In His image and likeness, that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? Those statements sound similar, in our image and in our likeness. Though they're very different. See, in our image, that's my humanity, your humanity, our humanity, or my maleness in this case. But His likeness is my spirituality with responsibility. So think of it this way. I am male by biology, but I am man by responsibility. Okay? Just being a male doesn't make you a man. It doesn't. You know, often in our society, some young man will have intercourse and it's like he's a man now. No, he ain't. He's a sexual being now is what he is. To be a man, you must take on the responsibility. Taking on responsibility makes you a man. Having sex can make you a parent, but it doesn't make you a man. Taking responsibility of the child you produce makes you a man. Oh, by the way, there's other responsibilities that make us a man. And that is taking on the responsibilities of our sins. Repenting of our sins. Admitting that we are broken and in need of a Savior makes you a man of God. Not just a man. But being a father, being a parent, means sacrifice. It really does. Listen, our Heavenly Father set the example, didn't He? Isaiah 53:10 says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Listen, it pleased God to make Christ our sin because it made God the Father our Father, that we could cry out, Abba, Father. It was the ultimate gift to us out of His love. It was a sacrifice. Didn't Jesus say, no greater love has a man than this, than he, what? Lay down his life. That's sacrifice. True love is sacrifice. Now, listen, I don't know about you. I didn't have a good dad. My dad wasn't Darth Vader, pretty darn close to Darth Vader. My dad was a mean dude. He really was. He was probably like 5'6", but mean. My mom and dad had a couple of nightclubs and a couple of restaurants in their lifetime. But at one particular time, we had Castillo's Club in La Puente, California. And it was Castillo's Club for many years. What's interesting is there's a couple of ladies who come here that used to go there to dance in their BC days. They go, Castillo's Club? Over there, on right across from Randy's Donut. Notice Randy's Donuts was across the street. And so it was Randy Castillo right there on the corner. That's my street. Orale, pues. Look at... So anyways, my dad owned this. It was a restaurant nightclub there. And I remember one New Year's Eve. I was a little kid. I was probably about 8 years old or so. I remember we were there. It was New Year's. And I watched my dad. It was horrific. I watched my dad, 5'6", beat up five guys by himself. Bad dude. He was a bad dude. He was involved with the Mexican mafia. He brought drugs across the border. I remember as a little kid standing in the garage, they pulled a camper shell off of the truck and they peeled back the outer layer of the camper shell, and inside the camper shell was bricks of drugs. At the time, I didn't know. I mean, to me, it was like, what are they doing? I'm just standing there watching, and they just piled up the bricks in the garage. And now as an adult, I'm like, my dad was doing drugs, selling drugs. But he was not a nice man. But he would express love sometimes in tremendous ways. You see, we had this nightclub, and I had two older sisters, and I was the youngest. And my dad would go to work at the nightclub, which was about 5 or 6 miles down the road, and he would say, Randy, when I'm gone, you're the man of the house. And I was like, okay, Dad, yeah, I'm 8 years old, right? And so one night, there was going to Casillas Club was a predator. We didn't know. And he saw my mom and dad were there, and he knew us. He knew my sisters and I. And he knew, well, if we weren't at the club, we were at home. So he decided he would just go get some easy pickings. And so we were at home. It was late at night. And all of a sudden, there's this person trying to get in the front door. And we could see him as he was walking around the house. The street light would make a shadow on the windows, on the curtains. And my sisters are screaming and crying. And here I am, a little kid, and all I could hear was my dad said, you're the man of the house. Take care of your sisters. I didn't know what to do. I was scared to death. And in the middle of the night, when it was quiet, we heard the rumble, roar of this automobile engine as my dad came down the alley behind our house. It was probably like 2 blocks long. It was a really long alley, very narrow. He comes down at top speed, 100 miles an hour at least. We could hear him from the beginning of the block just roaring down. We were like, oh God. And it added to our fear because we didn't know what it was at the time. And he hit the brakes and he pulled in the garage and he hit his lights and the guy was crouched down in the corner of the garage. But my dad couldn't get out of the van, so he had to back up. And when he backed up, the guy ran between the van, the front of the van and the garage, and he ran across the street, and there was a gas station there. And my dad, the gas station was closed. It was abandoned. And my dad, we were looking through the window. My dad was trying to run the guy over, literally trying. The van was, it was, and the guy would push off and barely get by from my dad as the van would come by. And finally, my dad chased him down in this little narrow alleyway where he couldn't get out, a couple of houses down. And my dad was literally driving his van across people's lawns and into their backyard through their fence. He was chasing. He wanted to run this guy over because he was terrorizing his daughters and his son, his mijo. It affected me. It affected me bad. I started having hallucinations and visions, and weird demonic stuff was happening to me. I didn't know it was demonic at the time because I wasn't a Christian. My folks didn't go to church. But my dad said, there's something wrong with mijo. Of Of course, I never got better, and now you understand why I'm this way. No. No, he said, there's something wrong. And he told my mom, you know what? We got to let the business go. We got to find a cure for Randy. So they would take me to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they were paying all this money, and nothing was working. So my dad sold the business, and then he went down to town Los Angeles and stood on the street corner. I'm not kidding. And every person would come by, he'd say, hey, look, my son's sick. Do you know someone who could help my son? Because he had tried doctors, and nothing was working. And finally, someone told him about this lady that could pray for me. And she prayed for me, and it healed me. And then it came back, and that's why I'm like this way. No, no, really, I'm all better. We're all better. Yes, we are. Yes. No. No. But my dad, he showed me that, you know what, there's something more valuable. Even as unloving, he never said, I love you, mijo. Never gave me hugs and kisses. He wasn't that kind of a dad. He was hard and kind of, you know, at times heartless. But when it came to this, when there was a problem, when one of us was sick, he would do all he could. That was his way of expressing love, I think. And it taught me that love is sometimes doesn't have to be expressed in words. Love can often be expressed through sacrifice. No greater love as a man than this, that he lay down his life. My mom and dad gave up their dreams in order to take care of mijo. So what do you teach your kids? I'm not talking about just your biological. What about your spiritual kids? Are you setting an example for them to follow? Can they look at you and say, that's what Christian love looks like? You know, it's interesting. There's a story. This little boy goes up to his dad and goes, Dad, what is a Christian? And the man goes, well, son, come here. He picks him up, picks his little boy up, sits him on his lap. His boy was like 33, I think. No, I'm just... He picks up his little boy, sits him on his lap, and then he begins to tell him all of the different attributes about a Christian, the way they live, the way they talk. The little boy just looking at his dad, finally, when he was done, the little boy looks up at him and says, Dad, have you ever seen one? I like what one writer said. He said, my dad didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch. You see, sometimes it's how people see our life. Those that you leave spiritually, they should look at you and say, that's what a Christian looks like. He doesn't have to tell me what to do to be a Christian. He or she is walking that life. And the same thing for our biological children. And do you realize that our Heavenly Father did that for us? That was what the incarnation of Christ was all about. The incarnation of Christ was God the Father showing us what Christianity looks like. He wrapped his spirit in flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son, wrapped himself in flesh and then said, look, live as I live. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here's the example for you to follow. You and I, as spiritual fathers and mothers, should be saying, listen, do you want to see what the Father's like? He lives in me. Let me live it out. What do people say about you? They say, that's Christianity. Or they go, wow, that's Christianity? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I've shared this story before, but I think it's a great illustration. There was a family. The little kids wanted a hamster. Oh, they bugged their mother. They begged and pleaded. They wanted a hamster. And she said, no. Every time we get a pet, I'm the one that takes care of it. They said, no, mommy. We'll take care of the hamster. So she gave in. The kids got a little hamster. And the kids decided, you know what? We're going to name the hamster Danny. And so they had little Danny, and they took care of little Danny for a while. But after some time, the mom found herself tending to the little hamster. She decided enough is enough. She gathered the kids together, and she informed them their little pet, affectionately named Danny, would have to go. She wasn't going to feed him anymore. She wasn't going to clean after him anymore. And she was shocked. Why? Because the kids took it well. The kid said, yeah, maybe if he didn't eat so much, if he wasn't so messy. Besides, he's no fun. All he does is sleep. And the mom agreed. She goes, yeah, right. okay, go, please, go get his cage. And the kids freaked out. They said, no, we thought you said daddy, not Danny. I love the brutal honesty of children. Listen, to be daddy, it takes action, an expression of love. It takes time. It really does. You know what's interesting is Riley, she's not my biological daughter, but she's my daughter. And what was neat is when she was much younger, when Jennifer and I first got married, I remember one day we were walking into Smith's, and I felt the little hand, and she just held my hand as we walked through the parking lot. And I was like, that is awesome. It was such a joy to my heart. Now, she doesn't do it anymore. She's a little uncomfortable because she's older. But, you know, the hugs and the I love you, and that's wonderful. And I think of James Dobson. He said this, a good father will leave his imprint on his daughter for the rest of her life. But when the way Riley came and held my hand, she wasn't expecting anything. She was just wanting to hold my hand as we walked across the parking lot just to feel safe, I guess. That's how God wants us to come to him. You know, it's been said once, a truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. You see, do we come to God only when we have our, God, please help me? Do we go to God only when we want to give him our shopping list of things? Or do we come to him even when his hands are empty just to say, I just need a big old hug? Do we come to God for love, or do we come to God in time of trouble? Pastor Randy, how do I do that? How do I come to God like that? What does that look like? Well, let me tell you. You know what God's favorite gift from you and I is? You know what his favorite gift would be?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's what he wants most from you and I, is for us to be obedient. Yes, you can come to God with your prayers, but what good are your prayers if you're not obedient? We can come with service. Some people want to replace obedience with a lot of service. That's not good either. Listen, we can come to God with worship, and we should, but we need to worship in spirit and in truth, and it must come from our heart. And we should, by the way, when it comes to worship, worship is really special. Because sometimes when I'm not obedient and I enter in worship, God will remind me, Randy, I love your song, but I really want you to be obedient. And I can take that worship time and come to God in repentance. We should come, brothers and sisters, we should come here for worship, and we should beat the worship team before his throne. We should get there first. They should go, wait, got to catch up with the congregation because they're already there. I don't care if you have a squeaky voice. Squeak away. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit get rid of that squeak. And listen, we should come to God with our problems. Why? Father knows best. Our Heavenly Father knows best. And you know what the greatest Father's Day gift ever given was? Jesus Christ on the cross. When Jesus Christ said, not my will, but your will, Father, I will go to the cross for you. That's my gift to you, Father. I will go. And you know what came with that? Us. Jesus was giving us to the Father, and the Father gave us to him. Wow. Unbelievable. And here's the thing. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get this mentality, and it probably comes from my childhood and your childhood. You go to school, you do well, you get a gold star, right? You accumulate a bunch of gold stars, you get a candy bar, you get some special treat. We live on the merit system, right? You work hard at your work, you get the employee of the month. Well, do you realize that God was pleased with Christ even before he had done anything unto his glory? In Matthew 3:16, it says this. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightened upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That was before. That was the start of his earthly ministry. So it was before he had healed anybody, before he had cast out any demons, before he had delivered any major public sermons. God was not pleased with activity. He was pleased in the identity. When it comes to you and I, God is more pleased with the identity than he is our activity. Now, if we are identified with God, then our activity becomes a sweet, sweet aroma before his throne. Listen, we identify as a child of God because we love Jesus, not because of what we do. Listen, I've heard someone say, oh, that person's a brother because they know their Bible. Wrong. The scribes and Pharisees had their Bible memorized. Oh, that person knows God because they're loving. Wrong. Mormons are very loving and Jehovah's Witnesses are loving. How do you know? There's a spiritual thing. And there's a rightness before the Word of God. And there's a rightness with Christ. And there's a love and a forgiveness. There's a lot more attributes than just being a nice person, than just knowing your Scripture. There's a whole lot to it. It's not activity, it's identity. So important. Jesus said to the religious leaders in John 8 that they were evil. And these people had all the religious activities. They would tithe, they would worship, they would pray constantly, they would fast, they would do all these things. But none of those things identified them with Christ. Just a surrendered heart. Joshua 24:24 said this, the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice, what? We will obey. We will obey. It's important that we hear his voice through an intimate relationship and that we obey because of the relationship, not to gain favor. Complete different concept. God should be our hero. He should be our goal. We need to know his voice. And we need to understand that he has given to us abundantly. That is a lavish gift. Adopting us, giving us the spirit of adoption where we can cry out, Abba, Father. It should be in your life and my life, it should be the presence of God that is most valuable to us. We were created to need love. He is love. He is all we need. And when I receive him, then I can become a vessel of love for others, for you, and you for me. And that's a beautiful thing. See, Father knows best. So on this Father's Day, take heart. Even if your father is not a Christian, there is hope. I saw my father change. Call your dad. If your dad's not alive, call my dad. No. call your dad. Maybe you had a Darth Vader dad. Tell him about Jesus. He can change. Trust me. And if you don't have children, be a spiritual father to someone else. I like this song. It's not a Christian song, and I read it probably every other Father's Day. It's not a Christian song, but I like the message in it. It's by Mike and the Mechanics, and it's called The Living Years. Listen to the words. Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustration come beating on the door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I would have told him in the living years. Say it loud, say it clear. You can listen as well as you hear. It's too late when we die to admit we don't see eye to eye. I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. Didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I would have told him in the living years. Let me close with one more kid's quote. Mark, age 6. We really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. Tell your earthly daddy you love him. show your Heavenly Father that you identify with Him and love Him? After all, we were created for His purpose, and hey, Father knows best. Let's close. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us so lavishly, Lord, that we can't even fathom the depth, the height, the width, the length of Your love. But Lord, we saw the sacrifice on the cross, and oh, what a beautiful, glorious sacrifice to send Your only Son. And now that we become His gift to You, Lord, we want to be identified. We want that spirit of adoption. We want to be an expression of Your love. God, help us. Help us to know, to understand, and to appreciate Your mercy and grace, Your love for us. God, You are so good. And thank You, Lord, for the gift of our dads. Whether good or bad, what a lesson and what a journey we've had in this life. And so, Father, thank You for all the things You do, seen and unseen. And Lord, may we bring You glory because You deserve it. And Father, we thank You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.